Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Rick Bayless, you know his name, perhaps from Frontera Grill, his nearly 40-year-old restaurant. Topolobampo, his restaurant with a Michelin star. From his show Mexico, One Plate at a Time. Or even the jarred salsas and frozen meals at the grocery store. Needless to say, he's had quite a prolific career here in Chicago. And in recognition of these accomplishments, Mayor Brandon Johnson has declared today, March 21st, Rick Bayless Day. I sat down with the man himself to reflect on his decades-long culinary career. And he starts with what it feels like to receive this recognition.
I'm kind of blushing because every time I hear that day, it makes me cringe a little bit because I'm always the guy that's looking forward to the new projects that we're doing. But this is a moment of reflection. I will tell you that.
Well, congratulations are in order.
Thank you.
It's a big deal.
I appreciate that.
Tell me more about how it feels to receive an honor like this.
Well, it means that people have noticed what I've done. And you mentioned a whole lot of the things that have to do with culinary. But for me, my career has really been focused on making really great food and getting it to as wide an audience as possible. But really what I have focused on is shining a light on Mexico and the regional cooks of Mexico and the brilliance that they create every day.
Yeah.
And just trying myself to recreate a little bit of that brilliance. And then also I learned this really big lesson when I was living in Mexico that the best food in the restaurants always came from the places that had the best local agriculture.
Right.
And when we opened Frontera in 1987, there wasn't a single farmer's market here. You couldn't get local produce in Chicago. Nobody thought about local produce. And so we put together the Green City Market and started that whole thing. I started a foundation to help invest in local family farms so that we could make them productive enough to actually come into the farmers markets and to supply the restaurants. If I have a feather in my cap, I feel like it is helping to develop that whole local agriculture, shining a light on Mexico, developing a really resilient and vivacious chef community here in Chicago. That's what I've been wanting to focus on.
And it's all worth celebrating.
Well,
chef.
Thank you.
Yes, hey, it's all
very kind to say that.
Yeah,
thank
it's all
you.
Worth celebrating. I mean, you talked a little bit there about how Frontera came to be, but talk a bit more about that. And now you've been running it with your wife.
Yes,
Deanne.
We have been doing this as a joint project for a long time.
How's
now.
That?
You know, it's really good. I came up through a family restaurant that everybody learned how to work together. And basically what it means is that you have very clear fences, that you don't step on each other's toes. If somebody is responsible for something, you let them be responsible for it. So my wife is definitely front house person and financial person, and I am back of the house person and the creative guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say that we haven't had any conflict through the years, but we actually have a really good working relationship, I think.
Yeah.
And when we started, we had just moved back from Mexico. We'd been living in Mexico for 5 years, doing the research for our first book. And we literally went to every single state in the Republic, and we cooked with local cooks, worked in small local restaurants, that sort of thing, to learn the regional cooking, packed that into a book, and then came back and wanted to really celebrate that in a restaurant.
That's wonderful. I mean, tell us more about your parents' restaurant.
Well, and it's kind of funny because most people would not celebrate the 37th anniversary.
That's a very specific number.
Very specific number. And I say that it's because my parents' restaurant was there for 37 years as well. And when I opened Frontera, I thought to myself, well, I have the same staying power as my parents to get through the ups and downs, because you can imagine how many changes have been in Chicago in 37 years, but we're still going strong. And so did my parents' restaurant.
I mean, and I've seen so many changes in 3 years, let alone 37.
Absolutely. And my father passed away long before the restaurant hit its 37th year. But my mother, she decided to retire and sold it to somebody else who ran it for 6 months and then closed it down. It was like a sad thing. But I will say that having met that same milestone as my family's restaurant, I just feel incredibly proud that we too, I guess I learned something about staying power, stick-to-itiveness. I've always said that one of the things that I love the most about the restaurant business, which is what a lot of people hate, is the dailiness of it.
Yeah.
You are only as good as what you're making in that day.
It's a grind, though.
It can be, or it can be exhilarating. And for me, it's exhilarating. When I go through the cooking lines before we start service in the night and I taste everything that's there, I will tell you that to me is one of the most exciting moments of my day.
Yeah.
It's not going back to the same old stuff. Well, we change our menus all the time, but it's like looking at all this beautiful handcrafted stuff that all the prep cooks and line cooks have put together, mm-hmm. and it's right out there. And I know that it's destined for bringing joy to people that come into our restaurant. Yeah. And so I love that moment.
Speaking of joy, you brought me joy because you brought a dish
from
Frontera for me to try.
Yes.
So what is this?
Okay,
and
so this
why
is
this dish?
That dish, because as I said, I'm always trying to shine a light on something in Mexico that perhaps people don't know about. And this is a dish called Siquilpac, mm-hmm. and it comes from the Yucatan Peninsula. If you want to get... I love hearing the crunch of the chip as it goes into your mouth
good.
There. I will say that it's sort of like a hummus consistency, but it's made with pumpkin seeds, not with chickpeas mm-hmm. and tahini. And it's got a little bit of tomato and habanero chili, so maybe you're getting a little bit of the heat of that, but it's that really glowing heat. You're shaking your head. Yes, yes,
I'm feeling
yes.
the heat, Rick.
Okay. And then I like to serve it, as they often do in the Yucatan Peninsula, with fresh vegetables. I put some chips on the plate there for you as well.
Yes.
But it's got cilantro in it. It's just such a lovely thing. And it's very satisfying. So for people that don't want to just always put guacamole out at their parties, try Siquilpac.
So good.
Good,
so good.
Good.
I can
it.
Second that.
Yeah.
I'll finish this later once we're done chatting.
Well, the heat will build. And
the
I do
heat
want you
is
to finish
building.
This.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by Hacia, whose Executive Fellows Program provides Black and Latinx business owners with real-world tools and strategies needed to master fundamental management concepts related to company stability and growth. Registrants learn through one-on-one executive coaching sessions with subject matter experts in the areas of finance, business development, operations, and legal. More info at haciaworks.org.
Let's talk more about the restaurant business, right? It's also known for having high turnover, but I understand that you've got people working at Frontera that they've been with you for 30 plus years.
Yes, we have a lot of those. I will say that was a hallmark of my parents' restaurant. And so for me, I grew up knowing how to work with staff in such a way that you always told them how much you appreciated what they did. You celebrated when something was extra special good in a day and you patted them on the back and said, that was just fabulous. That's what I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in barbecue. And because you're cooking with live fire, it's always hard to get consistency in that. But I will say that we had this one pit master for 30 some years, and he was so good. He could hit that consistency all the time. And he was a grumpy old man. I grew up with him, but he taught me so much about cooking and how to achieve consistency.
Wow.
And I think that I opened a restaurant and I wanted to emulate what my family did.
Yeah.
And it is paid off for us. We laugh at our restaurant a lot of times because if you've only been there for like 5 years, you're considered the new person.
Yes.
And in most restaurants where there is literally 100% turnover every year, If you've been there a few months, you're the new person.
Right.
But if you've been there a year, you're an old timer.
Absolutely.
But that's not what we have at our restaurant.
Well, one of our producers here at Reset worked at one of your restaurants years ago.
Yes.
And she was telling us a story of sort of having to act as your bodyguard and preventing fans from bombarding you when you were in the dining room.
Well, that was only during Top Chef Masters.
She said it was kind of weird and wild, but she thought about it later on and was like, you know what? Your celebrity status was actually part of what filled up the dining room.
Of course.
Night after night. Yeah. And made this place a stable one to work at.
Right. Exactly. For the staff, that's exactly true. But during Top Chef Masters, it was so, and especially since I won it, and then for the next, I would say, year after that, my wife and I eat two meals a day in our restaurants and we order off the menu. Okay. Mm. So we want to sit down and eat a meal. And the one meal that I had to jump up 14 times and take pictures with people, I finally had to say, somebody's got to like stand here and say, when he finishes his meal, he'll come and take a picture with
just
you.
Just let him eat.
But I got such an upset stomach by just jumping up and down and grabbing a bite here and there. And I love to eat.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to really enjoy the food that I was had in front of me.
You know, you talked a lot about your family, your parents' influence here. Any recipes from the family restaurant that still live on, Chef?
Well, actually, a lot of them, because usually twice a year, I will recreate their menu at my house. We did it once for a big event at the restaurant, but usually it's just at my house, and I'll invite 20 or 30 people over, and I will carefully smoke the pork ribs, which was the family's specialty. And then the one thing about the family restaurant that I grew up in that's very different than what many of our listeners might think of as a barbecue place is that it was really a family atmosphere that had about 25 sides that were made every day.
Mm.
And man, I loved that because you could go there and just have sides if you didn't want to have the meat.
Right.
And so it was kind of a funny mecca for people that were vegetarian as well. So you would think, I'm going to go to this sort of hall of meat and I'm going to eat only the vegetables. But we were really well known for that. And that actually, if you cook sides, you really learn to cook. I mean, there's just so much variety there. And so I always look back to those sides as part of my culinary training.
Yeah. Now, you have expanded your reach, as you mentioned, beyond restaurants. You talked earlier about supporting small farmers and how, you know, you really brought the farm-to-table ethos to life here in Chicago. So talk more about some of the farms that you've supported over the years with the Frontera Farmer Foundation.
Actually, we have supported about 200 different farms in the Chicagoland and further area. We are a 501c3, and when the IRS gave us that status, we were told that we had to accept applications from all five Midwestern states. And so we do give beyond Chicago, but most of the people that know about it are the people that are working around Chicago. It's a very interesting thing that we work very closely with a few farms in our restaurant, people like Greg Gunthorpe that does pork. He used to do chicken as well. We work a lot with the Nichols Farm that's just northwest of town. They just do beautiful variety of things, and we work with them. But we work with a lot of different farms, especially Spence Farm down in mid-state Illinois. And these people have gotten grants. Now, our grants are not big. That's the one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that what these farmers need usually is an influx of about $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 to do some project that will make them more productive and more profitable.
Yeah.
That's what we support. And we've given away about $3.5 million now in these small grants. So we think of ourselves as sort of, you know, sprinkling the fairy dust on the farms all around Chicagoland area and beyond.
Yeah. And on this program, we actually recently discussed how the Bayless Family Foundation gave four theaters grants to cover operating expenses and programming.
Yeah, and now that's a different foundation.
That's separate.
And that is something that we did fairly recently, but we've already given away over $1 million in that.
Why are the arts important to you?
Oh, we're a big arts family. So I grew up in theater. My wife has a master's in theater. My son-in-law and a daughter are both theater majors, and we are really into live theater. And of course, we all know that COVID has just sort of devastated the theater community. But Chicago has always been known as this great place for storefront theaters. And those are the small, scrappy ones that are doing the really interesting work.
Yeah.
And our goal with the Bayless Family Foundation has always been to uplift those storefront theaters that have lots of potential and help take them to the next level.
Yeah.
So whether it's that you want to go equity or you need a new space or whatever it is, you can apply to our Bayless Family Foundation for a grant to do that stuff to take it to the next level.
So, I mean, what is next? Chef, you met your goal to stay open 37
Seven years.
So, yes. I mean, what other benchmarks do you want to hit?
I work with theater companies. We did Cascabel twice with Looking Glass Theater Company, once at the Looking Glass facility and once at Goodman Theater. Recently, I have joined this small group of people that write things, and we wrote a piece just coming out of the pandemic called A Recipe for Disaster, and we ran that for 6 months underneath Pettorino's in a small space there.
Nice.
It's immersive theater, and we've just finished a new piece with them, and we're looking for a place to do that. I'm working on two new books. One is a memoir, and another one is probably going to be a two-part companion volume that really takes all of the stuff that I have learned in Mexico and put in practice in our restaurants and share that out there with everybody that wants to do it. But every recipe will have a note to professional chefs, because that kind of material is really spare in the Mexican world.
Yeah. So books, theater, food, grants. Do you see yourself ever retiring,
Rick
Bayless?
No, heavens no. No, I like my. I said if I was forced to retire, I'm sure I would have a restaurant open in 6 months. I mean, I really love the restaurant world, and I have.
Is
worked.
Is Deanne ever like, sit down, Rick?
No, she's like me.
She's just like you.
She's just
You're
like
a match
me.
Made in
I
heaven.
I mean, sometimes she'll say, I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed. But she is one of those people that really loves her work as well.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, the restaurant business is really a business for young people because it's super physical. So at this point in my career, and my wife would say the same thing, we're a lot about mentoring this next generation that's coming up. But my God, it is so wonderful to be surrounded by them. Their energy, their vitality, the way they think outside the box, they keep me really young, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And they ask me all the time, what's next? And I go, okay, let's figure it out. And so we jump into it, and it really does get me out of bed every morning to work with the people that I work with.
That's Chef Rick Bayless, who's celebrating 37 years of operating Frontera Grill in River North, and today, March 21st, being declared Rick Bayless Day by Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson. Again, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Sasha
Chef.
Ann. It's been really wonderful talking to you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. Now, if you like the conversation, please consider leaving us a rating and subscribing. It helps listeners like you find our show. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you for listening. You can catch us on the show today at noon on 91.5 FM WBEZ.
Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.